Next item on the agenda is Touchstone Development LLC, item number 06-2610. Mr. Stagg.
Sir. This is another after-the-fact request. Touchstone Development is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain approximately 27 square feet of riprap scour protection channelward of ordinary high water within Second Branch at the applicant's residential development called Highlands in Chesterfield County. The applicant also has a pending permit application for a pipeline utility crossing at the same location. The project is located in Chesterfield County. The actual crossing is approximately at this location. This will give you a little better idea of where we are. This is the Highlands Golf Club and part of the development. This section is the current area under development that this project was, is required for. And basically, the actual stream crossing is right here, Second Branch. The applicant originally submitted a joint permit application on January 22, 2004, requesting authorization to install a 16-inch water line beneath Second Creek, which is a tributary to Swift Creek. They were going to use the directional drill method. A permit was actually issued in August of 2004. On November the 1st of 2006, we received a new joint permit application seeking authorization to install a water line by open trench method, noting that the directional drill method was no longer feasible due to presence of bedrock at this location. Staff conducted a routine site visit as part of the permit application process and public interest review on February 21st of 2007, at which time it was noted there was a small portion of the bank at Second Run that had been graded and armored with riprap, along with the installation of a stormwater sewer pipe. This is what I discovered when I made my site visit. And I was making a site visit for the waterline crossing. And this is the same location as the waterline crossing. This was not shown on the joint permit application drawings. And basically, this is the area that is jurisdiction, a very small strip here where the bank was graded down and riprap was placed to dissipate the flow from this stormwater sewer that services drop inlets further up into the subdivision. We notified the applicant and their agent, Town Sites and Engineering, in a letter dated March 22nd of 07 of our site visit and potential violation of the Code of Virginia, section Chapter 12, Section 28.2.12.03. We did receive a letter of response dated March 30th from Mr. Tommy Houston of Town Site Engineering acknowledging the violation. We responded, staff responded back by letter of April 17th requesting that the riprap be removed from VMRC jurisdiction and the stream bank be restored to its natural contours, or if the applicant wished to seek after-the-fact authorization, that they needed to submit additional drawings and paperwork requesting such. We further noted that the issuance of the permit for the water line would not be issued until the violation was resolved. We were virtually at the point to issue the permit for that when this was discovered. So we withheld sending the permit documents pending the resolution of this. We then received a letter from Ms. Lacey England, also of Town Site Engineering, on May 30th, requesting the actual after-the-fact authorization to retain the riprap and the bank grading. Additionally, the letter clarified that the proposed water line would not impact the area already graded. Staff questioned that when we discovered this, whether they were going to go back in and redisturb the same area to put the water line in. And as you can see by this, this is the drawing that was submitted in response to that. This is the riprap that is currently in place. The small shaded area is the area they're seeking authorization from the commission, because this is non-tidal, so it's ordinary high water. The actual water line will be in this location. A public notice was published for both the waterline crossing and the bank grading and riprap placement. We did receive comments from the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries recommending specifically for the waterline installation that it be done during no flow or very low flow conditions and within cofferdams blocking no more than 50% of the stream. They also recommended any material that was removed from the stream be stockpiled to prevent its reentry into the stream, and that the stream bed related to the water line be restored to its natural contours after installation. No other agencies have commented. Therefore, the agent did acknowledge that the bank grading and riprap placement did constitute a violation of the Code of Virginia, and they noted, however, that the proposed work, while apparently on the construction plans for the actual work at the site, were not included in the joint permit application drawings submitted to VMRC. Staff would likely have approved the bank grading and riprap installation had they sought approval before the fact instead of after the fact through the JPA process. Therefore, staff recommends approval of the riprap and installation of the water line by open trench method, provided the applicant follow our normal in-stream work permit conditions. We also recommend a triple royalty, which I believe will be $75. I will have to get a revised estimate of the total cost, but currently the water line installation is estimated at $7,500 for the actual stream crossing, and also a triple royalty, a regular royalty for the waterline crossing, because that is not a violation, of $270 for the 30 linear feet. For the encroachment of the riprap, we are recommending a triple royalty of $270 for the 30 for the square footage of the encroachment. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I don't know if anyone's here or not. I did inform them. Okay. Yes. Okay. I did inform them to be here.
Any questions, Mr. Stagg? You got one note, no civil charge in this one recommended?
Certainly up to the commission. The environmental impact would be minimal, noncompliance, moderate would be my recommendation if you're looking for a staff recommendation.
Okay.
Clearly, this was intended to be put in, apparently, from the beginning. For some reason, it was left off the...
There's no comparison between this one and the Spotsylvania County one.
No, it was no emergency situation. This was part of a new section of the subdivision, and it's still not clear to me why this was missing off the plans that were submitted to us.
Maybe we can find out. Any good questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant here represented? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please. Good afternoon, ma'am. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name and who you represent, please.
I'm Lacey England with Townside Engineering, representing the applicant, Touchstone Development. The reasoning behind not including the riprap protection in the original permit application was that it was not intended to be an impact. The outfall was intended to stop short of the ordinary high water mark and discharge from there. I'm not clear on whether it was an engineering or a construction error that caused this, but it was definitely not intentional, and the applicant would like the commission to know that. The applicant also felt that in the best interest of water quality, not having an additional equipment in the stream, it would be best to leave the riprap in the bank as is and to seek the permit after the fact.
Well, where I'm a little confused is if you had left the riprap totally out of the jurisdiction of MRC, in other words, backed it up, wouldn't you have created a sedimentation type problem? Isn't the object to get the riprap to the water and the water to flow all the way down until it gets to the stream bed from an engineering perspective?
I can't really answer that as not being an engineer, but our engineers had designed it that way.
Okay.
And it had been approved by the county as well.
If it was a simple mistake and a mistake based on ignorance, and I use the term literally, not in a derogatory manner, I could understand, but I'm just a little perplexed as to, when you do this for a living, why someone didn't know that the permit would have been required. That's my only concern. Any questions from the commission for Ms. England? Thank you, Ms. England. Is anyone else in support of this application? Anyone in opposition to the application? The matter's before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think staff's recommendation is appropriate, including a civil charge in the amount of $1,200 based on minimal environmental impact and moderate noncompliance.
Is there a second? I'm sorry.
Well, I think also to include the triple permit fees and the royalty of $270 is recommended by staff.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Bob? Mr. Grant?
If I can use the last five after the facts to raise an issue. In February of 1993, Associate Commissioner Hayes at the time suggested that the staff come up with a consent agenda or a page three items, which would be after the fact projects that have been subjected to a public interest review, which no one had objected, staff was recommending approval, but for which staff had negotiated a consent agreement, which included a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement, plus triple fees and permit, triple fees and royalties, and the applicant had agreed to accept the commission's permit. We took those. Obviously, if the commission, you know, at the time had a question about it, it could either be answered or pulled off and then subjected to a full briefing the following month. But the idea, much like the page twos, was to give staff the opportunity to work to negotiate an agreement that the commission would then endorse, because staff cannot approve after the fact, you know, permit applications. They have to come to you. That worked well for about 6 years, up through 1999. In 1999, various commission members, you know, were looking at them in greater detail. We were pulling them off, doing full briefings. Some of the applicants were, you know, saying, well, I'm going to take my shot with the commission. I'm not going to agree, you know, to agree to anything. And so they just kind of fell into, you know, a lack of favor. But at least the last two, for which there was no opposition, and maybe even Mr. Malarkey, although he really, in working with staff, wasn't willing to do a civil charge. The other two were protested and wouldn't qualify. But if it pleases the commission, what we would like to try is to reinitiate or institute those page three consent agenda items, which would come after the page two items, which would include a staff recommendation for a civil charge, triple fees and royalties, and see if that can expedite some of the agenda items that we're bringing to you. And if it doesn't work, we can back off from it, but we'd like to give it a try again if it pleases the commission.
I have a question.
Mr. Holland, first and
on your Fox. On your page three items, would this be, it would, to be on page three, it would have to be mutually agreed by the applicant and staff?
Yes.
So if the applicant didn't agree to it, then...
Yeah, and I'll take Mr. Malarkey. Let's say we had tried to work that out, and we said $600. If Mr. Malarkey said, I'm not going to do $600. I'm going to take my chance with the commission. No, it would be a standard project that you'd be briefed on in the same manner if it was an after-the-fact with the protestant. I really can't alleviate the protest.
And the same would be true on a page three, that if we didn't agree, we could pull it out.
Yes.
Or
much
modify.
Like page two items right now. We give them to you. If you've got questions, you want more additional information, we then usually put it the following month. But the same thing would be true.
But you could modify it at that same meeting if you wanted to.
You could. My reluctance would be, and what I'd like the commission to agree is that we'll do it the following month. Because if we have a full agenda, let's say I have 8 to 10 items, and then I have 6 or 7 page threes. If the commission all of a sudden said, no, I want a full briefing, I hesitate to be prepared to give you 16 items with full briefing.
We hesitate to do that too, Bob.
You know, if you want to pull them off, I'd like to put it at the following month's meeting.
But you could modify.
Yes. Okay. I mean,
Mr. Fox.
At least while we're in the learning process on this, could we have a more full description than we get for the page two items?
Certainly.
So I mean, have a write-up, and we...
With your briefing, your evals that come out, what I will try to do is give you, I've got three consent, you know, page three items, and here's the basic facts that we'll be presenting to you.
I mean, a page or so on each.
Yes. I mean, that's... it's not a problem to send you that in advance. I'm really trying to address going through briefings when there's really not much opposition and in a way to try to cut down on the agenda some. But
Mr. Schick.
I think it's a good idea and you know, to expedite some of the matters. And one thing I don't want it to you know, look like is that we're making it easier for after the fact issuances. You know, in no way does this mean we condone them. And of course I know that you know, the staff knows that. But the public needs to know, and what it might start doing is we might not be able to look these people in the eye and say, you know, this is wrong. And I guess they should still be required to come, you know. See, some of the page two people don't come.
Correct.
I think the page three people should come, you know, and understand the full impact of you know, what they've done. And maybe that might help some. And when I guess when it comes to contractors, I don't know if page three should, you know, if it's a contractor's fault or something like that. You know, we're getting more of this problem where these contractors don't know what they're doing, and they come up and make these page three, you know, they might try to take advantage of that.
We could certainly agree to notify the applicants and the contractors of a page three item that's on the, you know, on the agenda. I'm not sure how to
compel them to come.
Or to provide, you know, a forum where they're assuming that there's one or two. You know, I guess I'm not quite sure how to address the perception that you're raising that in fact it's acceptable. It's not really acceptable, but I mean,
I think the idea would be that when you start down the road to negotiation, you know the position that this commission takes on after the facts.
Correct.
And when you take that position that has been established by this commission into consideration in your negotiation, those after the fact charges, civil charges, should be high.
I think staff knows that. What I suspect is it may take a few months before the individuals come in and say, you know, I don't know what your staff was trying to do, you know, they were trying to hold me up, you know, and the commission, if they, you know, feel so inclined, say, well, yeah, no, I mean, staff was basically following, you know, our wishes or the sentiment that we have towards after-the-fact projects, but
we're going to throw another $300 on top of it because you didn't take the, no.
Behavioral fee?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just, it's something we can try, we'll see how it works. Well, one thing I want to make very, very clear, though, this is a situation where it's almost like a judge in a plea agreement. If the commission does not agree with what's there, it's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. The staff does whatever they think is right, but the commission does its lawful obligation. So
it is not binding, and I would guess that goes both ways. I mean, if staff agrees to something that the commission feels, you know, and pick Mr. Mularkey, I just.
Right.
We agreed to something. He begrudgingly said, "Yeah, I agree with it." And the commission says, "Well, circumstances are really different, and I don't think it's warranted." I think you can go either way. Staff's agreement is not binding. It's just a way to try to get through the negotiation process, you know, in advance of the hearing. But
okay.
You need a motion, Mr. Chairman, try this for 90 days.
I don't know that we need a motion. Just consensus would be fine. Just
I think we should try it for 90 days and then look at it again.
Sure. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Next item on the agenda is public comments. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on any item that is not currently on the agenda. Be glad to take public comments at this point. Mr. Jenkins. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chief. Doug Jenkins, representing Twin Rivers Watermen Association. I'm going to come.